Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the weekly conversation geared for grown-ups, hosted by non-professional podcast hosts and adults. My name is Caroline.
And I am Hannah.
And we're so glad you joined us today.
Yeah.
We're doing things a little differently today. If this is not your first episode, then you may know that we record usually 9 days in advance. So our current events, by the time you listen, are
old news.
Very old news. But if you're listening to this on Wednesday, we're recording 48 hours prior. So we are, we're right on the cusp of that 24-hour news cycle. Though it's still late. I wanted to talk about the Met Gala.
Yeah, now, because this is the first time we're catching up, we still have like a week and a half's worth of
so I guess I should have stated that after the fact.
Yeah,
it's still old news, but we haven't talked about it yet,
right?
So
next week,
just wait,
buckle up.
I probably should have waited, spoiler alert.
Exactly.
But we have a mix of old and new, because let's see, we have some hot topics to talk about.
Yeah,
Met Gala,
Game of Thrones,
Netflix,
Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition,
Dead to Me. Kim Kardashian and Kanye being in Charlotte.
Oh yeah, you know what, can I say something also at before we start, though, because we always talk about a lot of really good stuff, but I wanted to say something as we kick things off about just a lot of stuff that's been happening around the world. Several weeks ago now, a mosque in Australia was attacked. And then a couple weeks after that, there was a bombing on Easter Sunday in Sri Lanka. It just hits closer to home because my extended family is Sri Lankan. My husband's Sri Lankan. And haven't brought it up, I guess, because I worry that I don't know how to address things and stuff like that. But here's what I do want to say, because a lot of people out there know how to address things like this better than me. What we can do about these things to start, bring in books into our homes. If we're parents or teachers, we can bring them into our classrooms. We can talk to other people about books that are just accepting of everyone and respectful of everyone. Books are so powerful. And I think a lot of times people feel powerless. Like, you know, mm-hmm. you and I don't a lot of times know how to talk to our kids about things. There is a great book that my friend Abby, who we've been talking about for like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
Abby.
Now you're in. Gave us for the kids' birthday last year, called All Are Welcome Here. And that's that, like, start there. Mm-hmm. Order this book. It's fantastic. It's just about welcoming everybody. And that's not it. That's not the bottom line.
Right.
But we need to start there. We need to start with kids.
Well, and I think there's a lot to be said. There have been in Charlotte, you might have seen in our Insta stories, there was a shooting at UNCC.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
UNC Charlotte. You know, right in our city, and that's where
my alma mater.
Yeah, that's where Passan and Hannah met. You know, that's it's close. My friend and babysitter, Maylee, has a lot of friends there. Mm-hmm. One of our other babysitters goes there.
A lot of hitting close to home.
Yeah, really, yeah. But I just realized, you know, I have grown up, my dad grew up very, taught us to be very conservative. And there's mm-hmm. a lot that I agree with still in that mindset. But I just kind of didn't have that much of a perspective on gun control. Mm-hmm. I just kind of went along party lines.
Sure.
My mom has always been much more strict about gun control. She saw mm-hmm. what having easy access to a gun in the home did to her family. I'm so tired of hearing the news of these shootings. That mm-hmm. same day, two schools close by to us found guns on their campus in kids' backpacks. And, oof. You know, I just, we can't just read about it anymore.
Right. And we can't just offer thoughts and prayers.
No. I mean, good vibes don't do anything.
Yeah.
Because the guns are stronger than
right.
your good vibes. And, you know, it was in the last year, it's been one of the first times where I felt like there has to be an action associated mm-hmm. with it. I love your idea about books, because I do think that there's a lot that we can do as adults in terms of who we vote for and, mm-hmm. you know, how active we are in the political landscape.
Right. Staying on those people.
But I do think there is almost more that can be done in how we raise this future generation to accept one another and be
yeah.
kind to one another. And I like roll my eyes at myself about this be kind mantra, but it is mm-hmm. so very true.
It's very basic and very much not taught, because I think everyone teaches be kind, but you don't teach be kind to difference.
Yes. That's
like
a great point.
Different perspectives. Like, and we do that by modeling it. I think a good example, it's Ramadan right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good time to just talk about it. Like,
yeah.
just say, you know,
well, I think
that it's something that's being celebrated. Ramadan Kareem to all of our friends who celebrate that. But there, and even with that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to say, I think especially what I tend to catch myself doing is right now when my kids are younger, I obviously am teaching them what we believe. Mm-hmm. And I think that there can be a fear involved in adding confusion mm-hmm. to their lives.
Oh, good point.
Of like,
yeah.
Hey, here's what we believe as, evangelical Christians, this is our thought process. This is mm-hmm. our belief, our core values. And so at 4 and 2 and 10 months, there can be confusion of this mm-hmm. is what we believe. Here's what other people believe.
Right.
But obviously I want them to believe what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that is a really good point of challenge yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
In how you're...
Open up your Instagram circle is a good
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are two
And
great...
educate yourself. I didn't
yeah,
know it was
exactly.
Ramadan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's two great accounts I would recommend. DM us if you want to talk about more because I have a lot of good resources. Yes, I'm Hot in This is a great artist. She writes comics about, she's a Muslim American and she writes like hilarious comics, probably more relatable to other Muslim Americans, but like it's yeah. still good. Like I've learned a lot from her. And also Confessions of a Muslim Mom is an American expat living in Colombia. I think
oh,
she's
nice.
Homeschooling or unschooling. I can't remember. And she does more like little micro blog posts mm-hmm. and just teaches a lot. And it's just a good place to start. And the thing I think that people maybe stop at is like just learning is not some sort of admission that anything that you believe is in it is like
secondary or something.
Secondary. Yeah. Or it's not saying like, oh, well, I might be wrong. Like, I don't
or
know.
Or I might confuse the issue because
right.
I do think that people shy away from things because even if you are open to other people's feelings or opinions, mm-hmm. Ultimately, we believe that what we believe is the most right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
I think
exactly.
that there is this fear of admitting that isn't true. And
right.
for me, I've had to challenge myself, but in a good way. I think one of the nonprofits that I worked for or with did a lot with homeless and generationally mm-hmm. impoverished communities. Mm-hmm. And I realized like I had to be trained really how to interact with those populations. And mm-hmm. it really challenged me to introduce the girls to that at an early age. And
right.
like, take intentionality. Most of us tend to live in a place that is close.
Yeah.
That is close enough to the way we also live. But in addition to getting books and in addition to, you know, educating yourself, do some intentional travel out like 5 miles outside even
oh, yeah.
of your neighborhood
yeah,
and
yeah.
spend some time even just at a restaurant where there is a diverse crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not a shock to the system when things are different. So
yeah.
my friend Sarah wrote a book, her husband, we talked about her in our Shiro's episode. Her husband was catastrophically injured in a bombing when he, in an IED attack, and lost a leg and, you know, has just finished his 120th surgery. But she wrote a book called Heroes at Home because mm-hmm. in her oldest daughter's preschool, they saw her dad and said he's gross because mm-hmm. they just didn't know. And so
yeah.
she wrote this book to just educate kids. And so like
yeah,
we talk about Mr.
Know.
Mike and
yeah,
you know
yeah,
like
yeah.
Norbert will be like, how did he lose his leg? And I'm like, the bad guys, you know. But like
right.
and don't be intimidated by how to talk to your kids. Obviously I'm not an expert, probably saying the bad guys is not the right thing to say, but whatever, you can scale your conversation to their
right.
age level.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah, just showing them different situations. I just got this good book from Milan called The Heart of a Boy. And
oh.
it's just a big book of photographs of boys with little quotes by them, all ages.
Oh, that's nice.
And they represent themselves in all different ways. And there are lots of kids in there who have a handicap or a disability. Lots of kids who have crazy colored hair. Lots of kids who mm-hmm. have names that are not super, I don't know, run-of-the-mill Western. So it's just a good thing to go through these things because then I can say like, oh, well, and he doesn't have like, oh, he's got this one leg and then the other leg. This is called a prosthesis because
mm-hmm.
then we're not like in line somewhere and he's like, what's that?
Yeah.
And it, I don't know.
But, you know, I do think in talking to some, even, you know, the homeless community that I worked with, they educated me a lot on don't just look away, like make us
oh,
feel
yeah.
like humans
because right. That's
I think
a good
we
point.
All get afraid to make people feel awkward if
right.
they're sitting on the street
like,
or
oh,
if
I might remind them.
Yeah,
the
but
same
like,
way I think we deal with grief where it's like you don't want to talk about someone who has died because
right,
like I don't want to
afraid.
Remember what if I remind her that her child passed away and
well,
it's like, well,
we were at a smoothie place and a little boy in a wheelchair came in and of course the girls were very into why he was riding a tractor and you know all of these things and you know, my first inclination was to be like shh don't
right.
talk about it
yeah.
but I realized like that's his reality and
yeah.
by shushing them it then makes him feel
awkward
yeah left out
like
so we
he's
talked
a,
about
he's something
it.
That shouldn't be talked
yeah
about.
I was like will you you can walk and this is how he gets around, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Again, may not have done it right, but
no,
you
know, I mean,
there's
some
acknowledgement that works.
Acknowledgement, I think, is it. That's what it is. I think just dive in, like, answer their questions. Kids naturally have questions, and kids naturally will be inclined to be a little more worried around things that are not like them. So make a point, like, we each have to make a point to diversify our kids. And I sent you something, I don't remember who was saying this, but someone was saying a week or so ago, like, when we go to the library, I make a point to, like, have half of the hall, my kids have to pick out books that have a character that doesn't look like them, a main character.
I loved that.
So I liked that a lot. And just other, like, just pointing out, like, oh, this is different. Oh, they speak a different language. Oh, her name sounds different than yours.
Right.
What's her, like, just different things and respecting those things. Like, not that those things are weird or, you know what I mean? Like, just that it's different, and difference is a great thing. I'm not saying that, like, we over here have, like, all the answers to the problems, but I definitely think that we as moms, and I know a lot of you are teachers, it's a good place to start with kids. We have to start with kids.
Yeah, totally agree. We're screwed already.
Yeah, it's gone.
Better
it's
luck,
over.
Better luck, kids.
Yeah. Anyway, that took a little bit of a turn, but I just wanted to talk about it.
Well, speaking of differences, do you want to talk about the Met Gala?
Yeah. Yes. Let's do it.
Speaking of people who look different. Okay, so y'all know that I really love award shows. I love the red carpet. I didn't even really know what the Met Gala was for until, like, I watched a documentary that's on Netflix about it.
I guess I've never really thought about it.
Well, it is hands down my favorite red carpet of the year.
Okay.
And that's all that they show. You know, like, award shows, they broadcast more, but the Met Gala is just the red carpet. And it is I thought this year's red carpet was astounding. I loved it.
I really like it. I mean, the thing is, so camp was the theme.
Yeah.
My friend Amy had to tell me what camp is.
All right. Use Amy's definition.
All right. So Amy says, as far as I understand, camp is like a playful dialogue with extremes. So, like, drag queens own camp, basically. And she just lists a bunch of humble opinion of hers of what camp is. So anyway, what was your, are there people who did you think nailed it?
I thought that Hailey Bieber actually looked phenomenal. She had this kind of, like, retro Barbie-ish look that I really loved.
Oh, are you sure you're not talking about
I'm not talking about Kacey Musgraves.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Hailey Bieber. Kacey Musgraves went, like, actual Barbie.
Right.
Hailey Bieber went Barbie inspired, but not quite as full on.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
I thought Emily Blunt looked wonderful.
Oh, I didn't even see her. I didn't see, like, I saw all different people. Did you think Kim's outfit was camp?
I don't think it fit the theme, but I thought she looked incredible.
I thought it was, not being new to camp, I thought, because she's supposed to look like she just, like, came out of the water.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The Met Gala always throws these real weird, like, less literal themes.
Okay.
I think last year, the year before, it was like an ode to China or something. Like, it was a...
Not last year. Last year was the religion one.
Oh, yeah. The year before was something about China. And it was a very clear theme, you know, like an Asian influence. Mm-hmm. Camp, I mean,
it's,
it can go either way.
Broad.
But I think, to me, I picture super loud, bright colors. I do think of, like, drag queens, so I picture that. So Kim was not that to me.
Okay.
It didn't bother me, though. I thought she looked amazing.
She did look really good.
Lady Gaga drove me crazy on the red carpet. You know, she had, like, three costume changes.
I loved it.
Well, it's because she went back to, like, performer 2012 Gaga, who I did not like.
Gaga.
Okay.
My favorite Gaga is 2010 to 2012. So
okay, well, that's my least favorite, so I guess that describes it. And Michael Urie was unreal. He did, like, a half
Victor Victoria.
Yes, and he looked amazing.
Yeah, that
was
really
incredible.
Good. So did the guy who played in Fantastic Beasts, Ezra something. But anyway, he looked really good, but it's just annoying how many men just show up in, like, a suit.
That is true.
Like, go all out.
Ezra
Miller.
Lupita Nyong'o was so fantastic.
I
just pulled up her picture, and she is a standout for
her
me. She was amazing. Yes, with her gold-plated combs. It's amazing.
And she was incredible. There were a lot that I thought
she never
really
misses
good.
For me.
No,
she's one of my favorites on the red carpet. Literally, always
she's one of my favorite humans.
Okay, yes. So back to what you were saying. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just got distracted by a headline as I was looking back at these photos that said Alex Rodriguez recalls how he lost 6.5 pounds in 2 days to not look fat at Met Gala 2019. So
the struggle is real. Alex Rodriguez is just like,
yeah, I'm sorry, A-Rod, yeah. that you dealt with your cellulite feelings on the red carpet. Yeah. idiot. Anyway. yeah. So the day after the Met Gala, I saw a photo that caught my eye of Kim and Kanye landing in this small airport in the Charlotte suburbs.
Yeah. Not even the good airport.
No. But I guess it's the one for private jets.
Oh, that makes more sense.
And immediately my spidey senses started tingling. And it just so happened to be a day that we didn't have Allison. But she was getting ready for her son's wedding. So, Allison.
Frankly, Allison, a different day would have been better. Because Kim and Kanye were here.
So, I had taken the girls to the Y for half the morning, left work to pick them up, then took them to my mom's for the second half of the day. And around that time, I received an alert that they were at a juice bar about 2 miles from my mom's house. And so I texted my boss and said, sorry, we'll be using PTO for the rest of the day to track down Kimye. I did go back to work like a responsible human being since I had already broadcast how I paint my nails and do, yeah. do workouts and
yeah.
work. But anywho, all day, I think people in Charlotte were trying to figure out what in the world they right. were doing here yeah. because her surrogate was hours from having right. the
well,
baby.
Well, this time we didn't know that she was in labor, but she yeah. was definitely like
due anytime
or something like that.
But anyway, it turns out that they were here to help a former inmate. It was a little bit of a hard story to follow, but here's essentially what happened. This man had spent a lot of his youth in and out of prison, and then was in on a sentence in prison. Mm-hmm. In a sentence, on a sentence, of a sentence.
What are you trying to say?
He was serving in prison, a sentence.
Serving, yeah, okay.
Prepositions are really hard. And wrote a letter to Kim and gave it to his sister and said, mail this to Kim Kardashian. And she was like, I don't know how to do that.
Right.
But sat on it for a little bit. And then right before he got released, she ended up sending it to Kim, who responded and said, we want to come to Charlotte to help you. And one of the things that he said was he wants to start his life again after prison and, you know, really reform himself. So, which one of the things that he wanted to do was to remove his facial tattoos. Mm-hmm. For job interviews and, you know, just the stigma for him, like reminding himself of that. So Kim and Kanye flew down, took him to a dermatologist, again, mere miles from our houses, actually in the same parking lot as where I go to church. So I felt like it was really holy ground this Sunday.
Yeah.
and spent the day with him having his facial tattoos removed.
That's
but
amazing.
As what ended up coming out in that story was Kim has helped 17 inmates be released in 90 days.
Yeah, it seems like she's being a little more low key about
which
it,
which I really appreciate.
I really respect it. Yeah. I think that's great for her.
Well, and the other thing I was talking to probably Maylee about was I also thought it was really nice that Kanye came with her because, you know, like, I know that they're married, but I don't ever like think of them as being married. But I thought it was really nice that he would support her platform in that way.
Wearing the same thing he basically wore to the Met Gala, which was like jeans and a zip up jacket.
Which is what I would wear to the Met Gala. So any fashion sweatshirt. And,
yeah, exactly.
Speaking of, Kanye has an apparel line for his Sunday services church that he started. I Instagram storied about it that Kanye was stealing our fashion inspo, and Kanye replied to us.
Yeah, and is still not sitting across the table. So
that's
weird. Know.
When they were in Charlotte, spoiler alert,
if you had complimented instead of said he stole our fashion.
Yeah,
sweatshirt.
I think he felt threatened that I said that he was stealing things because he responded with a question mark.
Yeah,
which then I sent him like 5 replies, including a picture of us in
a Hannah
fashion sweatshirt, which he saw and liked. So
he did thumbs up.
Basically,
so,
we're friends.
We'll take it. Yeah. I assume he'll be here at some point.
I'm counting on it.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, what else is going on with women?
Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition is out. Lots of like cool things happening. Not that I purchase Sports Illustrated or anything.
So I used to, for my boyfriends, whoever I was dating,
to be the cool girlfriend.
To be the cool girlfriend. Even for my husband, I was like, see, I'm so cool. And now I'm, well, so sorry, David.
Yeah. Sorry, David. Those days are over. Now you're in. So
you live with the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue every day. You're welcome.
So they have their first woman wearing a hijab and a burkini, which
is
cool.
Realize that.
Yeah. And they have.
Well, they have a rookie on one of the covers. She had never done any professional modeling.
That's right. Yeah.
And scored a cover, which I thought was.
Who was it again? Because they also had like a plus size model. And Tyra Banks came up out of retirement for Sports Illustrated.
She sure did. If you've been listening, Camille Kostek is the rookie. But if you've been listening, you may remember that I do not have warm and fuzzy feelings about Tyra Banks. I was shocked to see her on the cover because who are you?
So she was on the cover or a rookie was on the cover?
There were multiple covers.
Oh,
so
yeah.
They put out multiple covers each year.
Okay.
So rookie Camille Kostek was on one cover. Mm-hmm. Tyra was on another as an homage to her very first cover because she was the first African-American model on Sports Illustrated cover. Now, I did applaud that she said that she wore the same style of bikini, 25 pounds heavier. I mean, she still looked great.
She did, but you can definitely tell that she isn't like model thin like she was before.
No.
So I appreciated that.
Yeah, I did too. And that's about all I'll say about that. Just,
I don't know. I mean, I like her. But again, I think we talked about this before. I was listening to like an interview with her and her mom. So I was like listening to more of her backstory and like what those two have done together. And I think are doing together. But, I think it's cool because she's not like the young rookie anymore.
No, and I do appreciate that. I think that it has come more to the forefront time and time again in the last year. Even Pretty Little Lies was maybe like one of the, or Big Little Lies. I'm sorry, I was thinking about Pretty Little Liars, which is also a great show. But when Big Little Lies came out, you know, one of the reasons that Reese Witherspoon was so attracted to that project was to give more roles to, I hate to say aging women because that sounds like
not 20 year
negative. Olds. Yeah, but to women who are, you know, in their middle age. And so I appreciate that they recognize Tyra in that way. Mm-hmm. But what I'm loving more right now is a show on Netflix in the same vein.
Yes.
Called Dead to Me.
Yes. Good segue. The exact same, like focusing on like older women. And by older, again, that's so stupid.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
apologize
gonna be,
because
like,
we are older than 20 year olds. So like we should all get over it. And I'm glad that I'm older than 20.
That's true. But yeah, it stars Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini. It's kind of like, would you classify it as like a dark comedy?
Yes.
Okay.
I would do that.
I couldn't decide where. I would
classify it as Desperate Housewives mixed with
Pretty Little Liars.
I was thinking maybe Big Little Lies.
Okay.
And something kind of funny.
And then like
something dry humor-y. I had a perfect example and now I forgot.
Like
it.
Arrested Development or something.
Yeah, actually in my mind I was like maybe Arrested Development. It's not, I don't laugh as much, but it's like the same dry humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I apparently it's been getting a ton of hype. I didn't know that.
It was suggested to me
on Netflix, and I'm glad that I hadn't seen the hype because typically I won't watch things that have a lot of hype because I just don't believe them.
Right. Also, I originally thought it was just a show about getting over a lost loved one.
Well, I started watching it, and within 8 minutes, texted my Amy and said, "Watch Dead to Me."
Yeah.
And she said, "You're the eighth person that has told me to watch it."
Oh, wow.
And then immediately I was like, "Never mind, don't watch it." And now I'm disappointed with myself for being like a groupie, but it is it is that good. I watched 5 episodes the first night.
I watched 7.
And let me just say, it doesn't matter if I had been parked on my couch, but that's not really how I consume TV. I was like cooking and whatever, but
right.
it was perfect for that. And then
I do not like binge TV anymore. Like I just get too fidgety to sit there.
That's exactly. But it was so good.
Yeah, I sat there for 7 episodes. They're half hour each. They're not an hour. But I definitely
are they? I was watching hour long episodes.
No. They're half hour. But I was up to like 2.
Yeah,
which is late for me.
Well, and last night while you guys were watching Game of Thrones across the street,
RIP to my hopes and dreams. But whatever.
Yeah, well, just abandon it and get on.
I know, I should have just finished Dead to Me.
Yeah, I watched another 3 episodes, so I'm almost done with the first season.
Freaking
and 80
minute
love it.
Episode of Game of Thrones, you can finish 3 episodes of Dead to Me
and apparently
time.
Feel much more fulfilled about it. So
yeah, for sure.
Do you want to share any opinions, or are you worried it's going to be too spoilery?
No, okay, so here's the thing. It's important to talk about entertainment. If you don't want to, if you're like somehow waiting for Game of Thrones to watch it all at once, which I think would be nuts because how could you avoid spoilers? I will put like a tag, like a time tag in the show notes. So if you really don't want to hear about Game of Thrones, just scroll down on your phone and like see what the show notes are and skip to that point. If you don't care, if you don't watch Game of Thrones, still listen because this is important.
Okay.
Because I'm saying it.
Okay, well, I'll be listening, one, because I have to, and two, because now I'm intrigued.
Yeah. So it's funny that this is actually one of the reasons why I was super into changing our recording schedule.
Mm-hmm. Was because of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, I know why.
Hit me.
Well, because you were all up on episode 3 being so wonderful, and then by the time it came out, there had been another episode in between that you did not like.
Yes, exactly. So...
And then you were married. You were married to your kudos of the one episode.
Right, exactly. So I was super frustrated. This Game of Thrones has not been without criticism. That's obvious.
Sure. Well, that's why I won't watch it, because I'm a critic.
Right, exactly. I respect that. But for the last couple seasons, for those of you who are not fans, it's not been... It used to be based on a book. It is based on a book series. The books ended after season 5 because he allegedly hasn't finished. Some people are saying he's finished them, but now he has to wait until the season is out before he can release them.
I hope that that's the case. I kind of hope that he played this baller move.
Yes. With like 3 finished books and just like rub it in their faces.
I hope that he releases it the night of the finale.
Like 11
like, here you go.
PM or whatever. Like 10, what is it? 9, 10, 30, like 10:31 PM.
And he calls it like Lemonade of Thrones.
Yeah. Yes.
Beyonce.
Crushed it. But no, so after season 5, the showrunners David Benioff and D.B. Weiss took over the storyline. I think he has been consulting, but they had a really cool, what I thought, episode. Not everyone liked the episode that I liked.
The Winterfell episode.
Yeah, the Battle of Winterfell. In the following episode, they just, like, introduced 1,000 cliches for all their female and people of color characters. And in this latest episode, they just crushed 6 seasons of character development. I don't need to get into the details because, sadly, this is not a Game of Thrones review show.
Which I would not be co-hosting. So this seat is open if anyone wants that.
I know, but the way that women are portrayed in entertainment really is important. Like, it's one thing, like, to joke around about the Kardashians and all of that, but it is also...
I never joke about the Kardashians.
I know. No one at this table does that. But, I mean... It's important to understand, like, how we are being represented, like, and what other people are out there doing. The way they've written the women in this show is that women who want power are, like, power hungry and, like, likely to go crazy. But the man, there's, like, a central character, Jon Snow.
Spoiler alert,
actually has like a good claim to the throne, but he doesn't want it. And he's just posed as this hero who doesn't want, like, he would be such a good ruler because he doesn't want it. Like, and it's so tired to me that women who want power are looked at as the villains. And both of them are looked at, like, the other two women, like, vying for the throne. I mean, one as of last night. Are looked at as, like, the crazy people. And this really, like, the reason why this is important is because this translates to our real life. In 2016, Hillary Clinton was running against Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton has been training her entire adult life for this job. Like, she is by far the most highly...
qualified?
Highly qualified candidate, like, definitely this election. That was vilified in her. Like, the fact that she had been working her whole life to be president was seen as a bad thing.
Well, yeah, because, you know, and this is really politics aside, this is more gender discussion, 100%. Not politics.
That's what I'm getting at.
Because I was not a fan of Hillary Clinton. However, it's interesting that even as a woman, it was off-putting to me the ambition that she put off.
Exactly.
But I think that...
It's a message.
It is.
It's a message they put out.
Because obviously Donald Trump was
completely
equally or more so, but hungry for that role.
Oh, yeah,
and
exactly.
It was obviously there's a lot that we looked over.
Right.
Because he was a man. But anyway, it is interesting that, like, even during the election, you know, Chelsea had just had her baby, her first child. And I was like, she just needs to be a grandmother at home. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but here I am, a working mom, like, fighting for respect me as a working mom and, like, wanting to attain a career goal. Mm-hmm. But even I was looking at Hillary thinking, like, just go home and be a grandma.
Right, exactly.
And I still kind of feel that way, but it was also like, why did I feel like conflicted about my feelings with her wanting to set an example for girls and women that they could achieve this office.
Exactly.
And do it mutually with
Well, and not only that, like, she might not want to go home and be a grandmother, but, like, we're very much told, like, this is what a woman should want to do. Mm-hmm. And women who, like, are qualified and who have experience ruling in Game of Thrones or leading in real life are not given the respect of a man who just came out here and who has filed for bankruptcy in his life and who is, like, video of him
violated, like, many many women.
Exactly. So all that to say, like, it bothers me to my core that these people have assigned all of these, like, gender tropes to her. They had the best fight to the, sorry, to the two women ruling. Like, they had the best fighter, I think the best fighter in the series ended up in the episode, not this one, but the last one that, like, started my ire. She was, like, made fun of because she was a virgin, and I don't like that. I think that's a tired line. I don't think you can, as, like, a liberal production company, I don't think you can put in a, like, joke about virgins and then sit here and say, like, conservatives don't. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's definitely not. That is not a progressive joke. But, like, conservatives aren't open-minded. Like, just because people don't want to have sex is not a problem.
Right.
Like, people should do what they want. That's what I'm saying. What they're saying is you should do what we want you to do.
Right.
And that's a fine line. And I'm like, that's not a funny joke. It's cheap. And then in the show, she, like, goes away and gets upset. And then this someone follows after her and ends up, like, having sex with her.
Oh.
And I'm like, first of all, this is so contrived.
Yeah.
And then later on in the episode, he ends up leaving to go back to the woman he really loves.
Of course.
And she's seen, like, she's begging him to stay. She's
stage five clinger. That's what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's what Hollywood has taught
exactly.
me.
Exactly. And it's just so sad. I'm like, this woman is the best fighter in, like, this kingdom in the show. Like, that's who you've created. And you, the only way you can think to write her is, like, what can we do next with her character? Oh, we'll have a man crush her heart. Like, we have to do that.
Right.
Like, why did you have to do that in this last season? You didn't. And it's so, it's just so cheap. And in that same episode, the character who I think is going to win in the end, Sansa, will sit on the Iron Throne. You heard it here first.
Spoiler
just
alert.
Kidding. You didn't hear it. It's been said multiple times. She makes a comment, like, someone says, oh, if you had come with me, you would have avoided a life of, she was treated very badly in the show. And she makes a comment saying, well, if I had come with you earlier, then I had been, like, raped and beaten. I wouldn't be the woman I am today. So the way they write that is, like, if you cannot be, if you like, you can't be a strong woman if some man hasn't, like, brutally beaten you down.
Right.
It's just disgusting. And I also want to mention that there are three rapes of main characters in the show series that are not in the books.
That, you know, I, again, I don't watch the show. I've been clear about that. It doesn't matter. But I was even talking to David about it last night because he came home from watching it and I asked him how the show was and he said it wasn't very good. And I ended up having a conversation with him and I said, was there more gratuitous rape in it? And he was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, this episode before last, I don't know anything about it, but I know there was a rape that was put in there just to move the plot forward. And that makes me,
I think.
But I was like, that just makes me so angry because rape is not a plot point. It's not a character development point.
Right.
It happens to far too many women, but it is not for
making you stronger.
Yeah, like you cannot
Them, like to them sitting there in that writing room, and which I would be so surprised if there are like more than one woman
in the writer's room.
If that, like, they think, like, how do we make these women seem strong? Someone has to, like, rape them and beat them down because it happens to
and then they overcome and
It happens to two people and in the books it's consensual. It is not rape. And then it happens to this character and that doesn't happen at all in the books. So,
well, it was interesting, like, telling David that because I think that he didn't view it that way.
Right.
Because he's not a woman, obviously. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was interesting to have a very brief conversation about it in mm-hmm. which, like, I was pretty fired up about it.
Right.
Because to me, if you're going to write rape into anything that is an entertainment source.
Yeah.
One, you have to be super sensitive to it, and it truly has to drive something that yeah. is necessary.
Right.
I don't know that there are very few and far between times right. that would be the case. But, like, I could see him hearing me. I mean, like, oh.
Yeah. The other thing is that they have two people, again, vying for the throne, one of whom, Daenerys, is, like, for 7 years, like, has been the fan favorite, the person who wants to free everyone else. She has formed around herself a tight circle of people that she trusts. And in this season, those people have been dying off. Mm-hmm. And so she's been portrayed as like, oh, now she's going to lose it. Now she's going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. And then in this last episode, they did literally have her go crazy and slaughter an entire city. And I'm like, in no scenario is a man who wants revenge because someone that he loved was murdered the crazy person.
Right.
Ever.
No.
It's seen as an honorable thing.
Yes.
It's seen as, like, this is what you have to do even if you don't want to.
Well, you know, like, even in the Punisher series, mm-hmm.
oh,
you know,
yeah.
like, his whole family was slaughtered. And
right.
So, but it's like, look at him fighting for the love of
right.
the people that he loved.
He's an anti-hero,
yeah.
but he's still not, like...
He's not without
Harley
guilt.
Quinn.
Yeah, like I'm... Yes. And so anyway, it is just interesting that, of course, she's like the bitch character now.
Right. She is. And it's like
versus somebody that you're compassionate towards.
Yes. And again, it's like they were sitting there like, well, I mean, if a woman's best friend dies, of course she's going to go crazy. Like,
just wait and see if something happens to your podcast co-host.
yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so disappointing. And the way I described it to you earlier was I'm just tired of seeing women treated this way in entertainment. And
yeah. I hope you write a letter.
I was assuming this would be that.
Oh, yeah. No, but this is a
CC, David, Benioff, and DB Weiss. I hope I'm getting their names right. One is David, one is Dan. I don't care at this point. I cannot stress it enough. I don't care about your names. You have disappointed
America. And you probably have
some penises,
so.
I don't care as much about that as I do about the
sorry,
way.
Sorry to other men if that was a cheap dig.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't care about that either. Women get cheap digs only ever, so this is the first time. So, yeah, it's disappointing, and it's cheap, and it's all tropes. And it's like, of course, this man who doesn't want to rule is the best one, not the women who've trained for their whole lives. Gag me.
All right. Well, another That's ringing it. Endorsement for Dead to Me.
yeah. Yeah.
Check it out. Or Yummy Mummies. Those women are
yeah,
strong
true.
Fighters.
That's true. They are fighters.
So, well, do you have anything else to say about how women are treated in entertainment?
I don't know. I'm like having trouble coming down from this.
so well, I'm how about we go ahead and take a quick break? And we'll be back in just a little bit.
Okay, we took a little time, and we were just on our Instagram the other day. I was on it one time.
And, the one time you've ever been on our Instagram.
I noticed that someone said Josephine, one of our listeners, who I think goes by Joe, because I clicked on her page. That's the level I'm at. asked us to get into this issue of... kind of like, I think kind of mental load, but more so just the things that fall on specifically like women typically.
Yeah.
And so she was saying particularly, and this is something I feel hard. Was that appropriate? Sounds weird to say.
No.
I want to keep it in.
Say it one more time. I want to keep it in here.
She was saying, talking about how schools and preschools contribute to like this mental load. That mothers in particular feel because there's just a lot to do. And this might not look the same for all parents and for all families, but like for me there, and I think for her, she was saying this as well, like preschool trips, school parties, things like, I think you mentioned like a crazy sock day.
yeah. Christina brought it up when she was here. She
yes,
was saying
that's
that she
right,
and her
yeah.
husband are pretty balanced in how they bring up the kids.
Right.
But when it comes to remembering special themes for
right.
school, like she carries that load.
Right. And that is definitely something like that's been getting to me lately. And it's not like, it's like, I can't think about who's, it's no one's fault.
No.
Really. Like, it's
no.
not like I'm like, oh, well, I don't want like my son to have fun, but she said in her comment, and I agreed, like, can't they just go to school? Because like, for instance, in a field trip for my preschooler is a lot for me.
Okay.
Because it's and not just me, like most people ever, because in preschool, parents have to go. Kids can't go like by themselves.
Right.
So a parent has to take time off. Even if you're not like working at a paid job, like you have to take time away from whatever you were doing and go. If it's either a school holiday, which ours fell on, or you have a younger sibling, they also have to go. So now, like, based on the school deciding to do like all these fun things like strawberries and pumpkins in the fall and all these things, I have to like go and pay for like both my kids to go over here. I don't typically do stuff like that. I don't like crowds. I don't like like kitschy seasonal funtivities.
Okay, I love funtivities.
I know a lot of people. I know I'm going to be in the minority on that one. I just
don't
like it.
No, I don't
like
think
it.
That you are, because I think a lot of people, if they actually analyze if they like it or not, it is different than whether they do it or not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, like in theory, I like that Milan likes it, and I like that my kids like it, but I'm like, it's just a lot. It's a lot to go and like parent my kids out on some field on a hot day. I enjoy talking to the other parents and stuff like that, but I'm just like, I wouldn't have chosen to do it. That's the bottom line.
Okay.
I wouldn't have chosen to spend my day like at the strawberry patch with Milan and Maya, because it's getting expensive and I don't know. It just, it wrecks the routine for a day. And like, we live by our routine. If our routine isn't like on point, you can tell there's a difference with them. Like, it's just harder. So that just made us, is that kind of how you, like, what do you, what?
No. I think that that's a good point. And it was interesting for me to hear you break it down that way. And, you know, for me, it, I want to say this the right way. Without something crushing
which,
your
something which I have not spent a lot of time focusing on episode.
It's okay. I love field trips. Okay. Like, to me, that, because we've talked about it ad nauseum, I'm sure you guys are like, shut up already, but because I am always trying to find the line between wanting to be this stay-at-home mom in it fully in everything, and that's not to say that all stay-at-home moms feel this way or should feel this way, I like fully wholeheartedly embrace those opportunities to be present, because I'm not always at preschool drop-off, I'm never at pickup, you know, those kinds of things. I want to be very present and I want to make those memories and, you know, all of those things. Now, typically, like Norbeth's activities fall on Wednesdays, which is when we already have childcare for the other two girls. I don't have to do that. But I do then, like this coming Wednesday, today, when you're listening to this, is bike day and family picnic day.
I have anxiety just thinking about that.
So Wednesday, we'll drop off her bike and helmet, then do carpool, and they'll ride their bikes like in this big lower parking lot all day.
Interesting.
And we'll come and do a big family picnic with them. And I am like so excited about it. But I've also had to work my work schedule around.
Right.
Okay, well, it is picnic day. I don't resent that that's happening. I'm super excited for her because I know she's going to love it. But that means, okay, I have to do an exit interview for an employee. I have to do several different things like projects. But I, because of our location from our preschool to our office, I won't go into the office until after. Yeah, so there are just all these factors. But to me, I want so badly, to me that's my primary, is to be there,
right?
But then I do feel residual stress after, and so it is like this burden of, in some way, in order to do X, Y has to go by the wayside. Like there's no way to do it both
ways. Because I would not want to not go. Like, in that I would feel badly about it. I don't actually like look forward to it. I know that he likes it, but again, it's like Josephine was saying, like, I'm also kind of like, can't they just go to school? Like, they love school. It's preschool. Like, they're not like they're not sitting there through exams all day. And like, I like that he, Milan, will like it, but he would also like just going to school.
Kind
of like, he's not like missing it, because
school, he's not thinking, I wish I were at the strawberry patch, or I like, wish I was having
a bike day. And when you said bike day, I just imagine like the cuts and scrapes that are going to be piling up. And I'm like,
I love my preschool, because or our preschool, Norbeth fell on the playground today and hurt her arm, and so I was sitting in staff meeting and I got a call from the preschool, so immediately I left staff meeting to get it. Again, I'm the primary contact, not David, because that's just how these things work, right. even though he's with the girls on Mondays while I am at work. But it is one of those things of like,
yeah, well,
of course I'm the primary.
On Mondays, only call him. And yeah. All, like, again, you can't.
But I'm the mom, so of course you call me. You right. know? But I do love my preschool because when you answer, they say, everything is fine. Norbeth is fine.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, state of the world that they have to assure
right,
you of that.
Exactly.
But I do
love it. But it's also like, can you text me then? Because I'm kidding.
But,
no, that would make me feel better
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, so immediately I'm like, hello? Norbeth is fine. She took a tumble on the playground. And, you know, so anyway, she has a swollen arm
why
that
they
she's
call
like,
you for that?
I think just to report the incident. So that way if. Oh. You know, I don't know that you can always trust the accuracy of a 4-year-old telling you what happens or if she
yeah.
came home with, because we do carpool. So like yeah. they don't report on each kid when they come up to your car. You don't
okay.
see your teacher. So I guess it was like in lieu of an incident report, like they would do it. Why?
Okay.
Like,
right.
Fell.
I don't know. It's just there's nothing that can be. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. But there are plenty of things that fall in that vein for me that are
yes.
like. Okay, I'm just going to do it. And it's just an understood, like...
Like what else?
Well, so very specifically this weekend, the girls were flower girls in
right.
a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wonderful weekend. We loved it. The girls had
the
a great time.
Looked adorable.
Yeah, the pictures are so cute. And I'm so glad that we were a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
However... There were a lot of logistics that had to take place. And
yeah.
the wedding was about 2 hours. Well, it was a little over an hour away, but getting there on Friday took us 2 hours. Because there's traffic and a funeral procession on the highway. And anyway, David had not taken off like I had thought he did for the rehearsal at
right.
the time that I thought he had and the rehearsal dinner. So I was traveling with all three girls, making sure they have rehearsal dinner outfit,
right.
backup outfit.
I was gonna say backups always.
Extra shoes because they couldn't wear their wedding shoes because I didn't want them to get dirty, that they had their wedding dress backup to wear that day.
Right.
And then the three girls and I spent the night in the hotel by ourselves. And so that was, okay, who's going to sleep where? How are we going to get whoever
right.
down? How are we going to check into the hotel and get the car unloaded with all three kids? You know,
right.
like... And I was trying to explain it to David the night before we left to say, like, this is a lot. And, like, I'm not feeling badly about it,
right.
but it's like there's a lot. And he was like, well, you just don't need to stress about it. And I was like, Dateline, hi. It's me.
It's me again.
I have another story idea for you. But it was like, that is very easy to say
right.
when you do not have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't. And so that to me, like, brought up this whole thing of there are so many logistics that
yeah,
don't matter.
Logistics,
like,
yeah.
we don't have Allison again for one day this week, which I know I make it sound like we don't have her ever. She's had a busy season, you guys. But
everyone stop yelling at Allison.
She's wonderful. I don't care what your DMs say. But
it's probably the last time Allison works for you.
We really love you. Anyway. That means, you know, I've made a plan for tomorrow, a contingency plan. Again, David doesn't have to worry about it. Like, he just checks in of like, well, what are we doing tomorrow?
Right.
Is it an Allison day? And I'm like, well, no, the girls are going to go to Y childcare in the morning, you know, like
yeah.
all of these things. But the slots weren't open on Y childcare. So I had to call and leave a message and then to see if they were really open. And
right.
they called me back and had gotten us in. But in the meantime, I made a backup plan. You know,
right.
like childcare is one that most... families do not have the male does not have to worry about, but it
yeah.
is a significant part of my stress level is childcare.
Yeah, because Passan, back in like December, January, put like a date on the calendar for every month, like
That's
a date.
Really nice.
Yeah. yeah, it is nice, but I'm like, so are you? Because he was like, oh, I thought like
he was so proud of himself for
right.
having done
and
that.
And it is very nice and it is very thoughtful. But I'm like, at the same time,
who's planning this?
You will just be getting in the car.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's not just like childcare is not it's favors. Like
mm-hmm.
I have to weigh favors that I'm asking of people
yeah.
or money that will be spent on top of
yeah.
Whatever we spend to go out to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the idea. I still love it. It's not thoughtful of him. It is very thoughtful.
But it's
and I like that he wants to hang
through.
Out with me.
Yeah. No, of course.
But
it could be worse.
Right. Exactly. But it's still like it was presented to me as like a thing he was doing for me.
Right.
But ultimately, I'm actually the one pulling the trigger.
Right. And because you trade childcare with people, that right. means you are committing to doing
exactly
a monthly childcare situation.
Yeah. So that's
for someone else.
And that's it too. It's like, all right, for us to be able to go see something, I don't remember when this was, because this came up in like January. What came out in January? Captain Marvel, maybe.
Probably some superhero movie.
March. I apologize, Marvel. But, you know, for us to be able to go see that meant a trade. Like, it meant mm-hmm. I would be able to spend, like, this time out at the movies and then other time at someone else's house so they could go out.
Right.
That's just how it works. Like, and I'm happy to make those trades mm-hmm. because, but at the same time, he never has to do that.
Right.
So that's just, I don't know, it just falls on me. And it's like, I don't, there's no...
Well, let me read a few of the other things that I thought were really good. Somebody said child development, thinking about whether they're hitting their milestones,
Jessica.
practicing the next milestone, ensuring
Which
tummy time for
very
our infants.
Good point.
When do we start food, scheduling well visits appropriately, making sure they take a vitamin, brush
their
teeth.
I actually put Passan in charge of their dentist.
Oh, that's really
nice. I don't
nice.
Touch the dentist anything.
Well, this is a funny story, and David, I hope that you will laugh at it. But we had just had Norabeth. I did not, like, research pediatricians. Everyone had said this one pediatrician's practice was great. So I had asked David, make an appointment there
okay.
when we were in the hospital, because we couldn't, you know, obviously make our baby appointment.
Right.
You know, so while we were in the hospital, I was like, if you could please just make the appointment for us. Okay. He said he was doing it. So when she was 5 days old, we get in the car. I show up at Matthew's Children's Clinic and I was like, hi, I'm here for the appointment. And they're like, it's not in. We don't have an appointment for you. So we end up like finding out, I'm asking them to search their records for us to see if there's an appointment anywhere in their medical system for us. And they point us to a smaller clinic at a different pediatrician who, I mean, happy ending because we adore the practice that we go to now, but it was like, really, like, I guess he had just put Matthew's
clinic
pediatrician and just called the first one and felt like nailed it where of course I'm the one then there with a newborn
yelling at someone to,
like, and then I was late to that appointment
at 1:30.
I was late for that appointment. There we don't know if we can see you because we have a late policy, you know. And I'm like, really?
Well,
but again, you know, with our recurring ear infections for Jane Ellis, you know, it's making ENT appointments, and like he's an equal partner in taking them to those. But I'm the one making the call of, well, her ear's been draining for 14 days now instead of 17.
Right.
Do we take her now?
Right.
You know, I think that was a good one.
The milestones was a really good one.
Two different people, Jessica also commented, and then Aaron commented and said gift buying, which is very
totally.
True.
Totally. Sometimes I will put Passan on that if it's for like a kid's birthday party. But as we have talked about, I don't attend those.
Yeah, you're doing some things right. I need to listen to you as an expert.
Yeah, I say that all the time. But
Rachel pointed out all of the school things. So lunches, teacher gifts, field trip money.
Oh, teacher gifts.
Signing the reading log.
And to be clear, we love teachers. It's not like...
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to buy them gifts. It's just...
I love it. It's just a lot. Like, I had a whole, like, plan for Teacher Appreciation Week. Because it's just a lot. Like, there are multiple teachers and they have different things they like. And then it takes me so long. I don't know, like... You know, mom brain is a real thing.
Oh,
and like, I'm like in Target trying to figure out, because it's always, I don't know, it's hard for me to like go in there and find out like, all right, they like, I need this different candy and this different candy and this different candy. And then I like check off each person for Monday. And then, then it's like this favorite thing. And like, I appreciate you people very much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to like short you, but I also can't go broke on like teacher gifts, but there are a bunch of you. So it's a hard line to like toe. I always feel like I didn't like do enough because I know teachers are underpaid. I know they're underappreciated.
Right. Well, and you don't want to get them the thing that they have gotten for every
single
year.
I don't want to just do another
Starbucks
like, mug, even though I love mugs.
Well, okay. Well, so if
I feel
you
like
teach
gift
somebody,
cards would be accepted.
Well, I set up a end of year. We don't have a homeroom mom, so I have made myself the room mom. So you're welcome, class. But I set up a collection for end of year teacher gift. But the money's trickling in a little bit at a time. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what the final total is going to be.
Right.
I'm planning to give it to them at bike day today. Right. When you're listening. Don't know what I'm going to get yet.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, I'll do that tomorrow when I'm also at work. Granted, that was like voluntary, but I would have had to do it anyway. Right. So I might as well have a higher amount to spend on behalf of everyone.
Right.
But now I also want to do it justice to people who gave me their money. Somebody else brought up a really good point. Jenna said that lately she's been worrying about how we're going to take care of our parents when they're older, which I thought was is something that is outside of the scope of parenting, but is kind of like reverse.
Yeah,
like, I thought that was a good great one. Point.
I thought so, too. That's something that Passan and his sisters have been talking about a lot lately. It's more common, like, for Passan, he's always said, like, the state of mind is, like, the parents will support you through as long as you need to be in, like, school and grad school and whatever, and then you support them. So it's, like, a little bit different. That's not what, like, our family does. Mm-hmm. Like, his parents both still work. But it's definitely, like, something to think about.
Well, I get that. I mean, I'm the only one of my siblings who lives in town. Both of my parents are local. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the oddities of my relationship with my dad. So I do think about, if something happens, what would I do? Because I know as a daughter what I would feel like I should do, but I don't feel that way.
Right.
But with my mom, I know that I want to take care of her, but I'm also the only one here.
Right.
So, you know, there is that I thought was a really good point out. And then we had a few people point out mom guilt, which we talked about in an earlier episode and is so true.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think I'm getting to a place with that one where I understand it when I see it and can kind of step aside.
That's great.
I don't know. Because I feel more and more lately like I can look at a situation and say, like, it's okay if my kids are with someone else right now because I'm doing something I need to be doing.
Yeah, I am there pretty decently with work. Like, if I have to go in on a day that I would work from home, I am at a better place of scheduling a sitter and feeling better about that.
You've got some really good sitters.
Yeah, I mean, my girls adore my sitters, so I don't ever feel like I'm leaving them and they're, like, screaming.
Right.
They're
right.
always happy for me to leave. But I do feel that way if I'm hiring a sitter to go do something purely personal, because I can justify, like, well, I'm going to work because I have to.
And to make money.
But if they've been with the sitters all week, and then I hire another one just to go do something purely for me, I have a hard time with that one.
Yeah. I don't know if I know what my line is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, like, lately I'm trying to draw, I'm trying to save my afternoons for them during the week.
Yeah, I like how you've been structuring that.
If it's not a weekday afternoon, I, like, don't feel bad about it. Because I'm like, I really restructure my whole day for you people.
Yeah. Well, like, today even, I was away from the girls in the morning at work. And then when we got home, I just really wanted to work out.
Yeah,
I wanted them
good.
To have a change of scenery.
Yeah.
So I took us to the Y, and then our Y has a brand new playground. Our friend Megan at Pluff Muds helped allow that to be open to the public. So thank you, Megan at Pluff Muds. So I told the girls, like, we can go play on the playground after I work out. I did a real quick workout.
Yeah.
But I did, like, on the way over there, have to battle. I'm taking them to the Y. Mm-hmm. I haven't been with them all day. I could be with them. But I felt better after I worked out and then we got that time
on the
playground.
I just keep asking myself when I think of stuff like that if Passan would feel the same way.
Oh,
and if he wouldn't, I shut it down.
That's great.
And it's not that it's a bad thing. It's not that it's
inspired
a bad thing
Game
that Passan and David would... always. It's not that, like, dads, I don't think, feel as much guilt, and that's a good thing.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Again, like, I'm totally
to
generalizing... I guess what I should say is, like, the person who isn't around is my... No, I don't know. That's not true either. Anyway, yeah, it's not a bad thing. Guilt is the enemy. I think Allison said something really profound to you about guilt.
Yeah.
Just about it being, like, a
Allison
tool.
Still wants to work for me after everything.
Yeah, I hope you saved it, because that's probably the last thing she ever...
Yeah, well, I did ask her because Norbeth was making me feel really guilty. Often.
Right.
And Allison sent me the most incredible email about it.
Right.
And I've read it about 14,000 times. And I won't do it justice paraphrasing it here, but I'm happy to share some nuggets with you if you are struggling with it.
Yeah, if you're struggling, certainly DM us, because I don't know. I just found this wisdom to be very... Maybe even since you told me about that is, I think, when it's...
That helped me so much.
Yeah.
Nobody has DM'd me to find out how I feel about youth American sports.
Seriously, people need to ask. It's a good conversation.
Okay, well, they haven't. So if you want to hear about that and or what Allison has to say about guilt, let me know.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know. Again, sometimes it just helps to feel seen or heard. Like, it's not like there are answers we love our husbands, we love teachers, we love it all. And teachers, I'm sure, have things they would add in differently.
Yeah, and we love the privilege that we get to do it all. So, you know, but I do think that it is really helpful, to, at least to me, to realize it does take some guilt out of it for me if I am wrestling with why I'm feeling this way about certain things, to see comments that I can relate to from so many women on so many levels. It helps normalize.
Yeah.
This is not just me feeling like I can't do it.
Right.
This is a very real and very valid feeling.
Yeah. And that's how I felt when I read the comment about like just stuff going on in preschool.
From Josephine,
because I'm like, yeah, like it makes me feel weird to like not like it makes me feel like I'm the weird one to not be excited
to
about stuff
it.
Like that. But
that's how I feel about a lot of
her saying that. So
I feel the way you feel. You've already figured out your solution by just not going to birthday parties.
Sure.
But the way you feel about field trips is kind of how I feel about birthday parties, because David can very rarely go. And so I'm like, I don't like this.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's where we're at.
All right. Great.
All right. We'll be right back with our good ideas at the time.
So, in an effort to make my kids a little bit more musically relevant.
Sure. Love it. Yes. I'm on board already.
Okay. I downloaded some of my favorite songs from college.
Oh, okay, so...
okay, it's a wash. We're getting there.
Baby steps.
We're getting there. I love still this artist named Mika. Are you familiar with Mika?
It was in college.
Okay, cool. So you know who I'm talking about. So they're just happy, fun, feel-good songs.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one called Lollipop. Do you know the song?
I know I would know it if I...
Okay, well, as expected...
Now all I can think of is the rap song Lollipop.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that one. Who does that one?
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay, so...
It's not appropriate.
Okay, that's
Lil
great.
Wayne. I think it's Lil Wayne.
Well, this segues real well into what I'm saying. So the girls love the Lollipop song from Mika, but I don't think that it's dirty. But as I hear these 2 and 4 year olds sing it, I'm not sure anymore.
Lyrics?
It's like sucking too hard on your lollipop. Love's gonna get you down.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with that's inappropriate.
I don't know. I still don't know.
I didn't
is
feel
it?
Like you would be the one to push the kids over the edge into. Well,
I really just thought it was like a
music,
fun song, and
here
it's like,
we are. Is it Mika?
Mika. I'll read the lyrics. But I didn't like when I sing it. It doesn't seem dirty, but when these small, tiny children sing it, it's very questionable.
All right. I said, sucking too hard on your lollipop. Oh, love's going to get you down. I said, suck. And repeating that just many times.
Many, many times.
I went
walking with my mama one day when she warned me what people say. Live your life until love is found, because love's going to get you down.
Okay, well, that's a good message.
Well, then it does say, take a look at the girl next door. She's a player and a downright whore.
Bore. It says bore. She's a player.
Not the one that I'm reading.
Oh, this was me edited. She's a player and a downright bore. Jesus loves her, but she wants more. Oh, bad girls get you down. Oh,
okay.
For the love.
That's fine.
How is that fine? She's a downright whore?
Okay, I do think it's bore. I think you're right. I think this is wrong.
Okay.
But anyway, mama told me what I should know. Too much candy gonna rot your soul. Okay. If she loves you, let her go, because love only gets you down.
Okay, that is so unhealthy. I guess
it's
not the worst
so
things.
Happy.
Like happy.
It's so happy. You just don't know. And so anyway... Norbeth loves it. She wants me to play it all the time. So all we listen to in the car now is Let It Go or the Lollipop song. And then when she's like, sucking too hard on your lollipop, I'm like, I don't know. It sounded like a good idea to introduce them to more current music.
It's fine. Just
and by current, I mean 2006.
Yeah, the lyrics so that their therapists will be able to.
You got the down payment already.
Right. Exactly. Well, that was a good idea one.
Thanks. I made a note of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going back a little bit for this one, because I've been thinking about, I just remembered it the other day. So I was at the gym, and you know, I'm all about like supporting women, but
sure,
like
that's kind of the whole thing.
My question is like, where's the line? So like I saw someone out on the field doing some like badass workout.
Oh,
like
okay.
She was like
me?
Flipping. Well, yeah, it was you. This is
the other time.
It's my way of complimenting you.
Yep.
Roundabout. But she was like flipping a tire or like something. Oh, no. She was like jump. I don't know. It was something cool.
Well, I was about to say, oh, I love flipping the tire, which sounds like so self-congratulatory, but I do really love getting out there.
Oh,
and doing
really?
That
I've never done
yes.
that.
Yes. Oh, we'll do it next time.
Yes. I would love to do that. That's one of those things that I'm a little nervous to do for the first time by myself.
I'll do it with you.
Because of when I jumped rope and Pisan put it on Instagram and laughed at me.
I don't think I was following Pisan then, since I just started following him last week.
You missed out. Anyway, this I saw. I'm just like, man, she looks like so cool out there, like doing those workouts. So then we're in the bathroom, and I saw her in the bathroom, and I was like, hey, were you out there on the field just doing this like really cool workout? And she's like, no.
What?
And I'm like, well, so like it wasn't her, but she looked exactly like her, was wearing the same clothes, but I saw this other girl from a very long distance.
Are you sure it wasn't her and she just didn't think her workout was that cool?
I said, were you just out on the field? And it was a no. So like I was like pointing.
She's like, well, do you love when people do the elliptical? Cause that's what it came off of.
And I'm just like, and this girl,
oh, that is so awkward.
This girl is like ripped. Like I'm just like intimidated to even talk to her. Because I'm just like, I don't know, I'm just like real impressed by you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and so then of course I wanted to compliment her, like literally.
Right.
Because when I saw her, like, I'm like, oh, I bet she's the one
It must have been her. Because,
right.
Yeah.
But also like, again, like she was wearing the same clothes and looked like her.
Yeah.
So like I started out to offer her a compliment, but it doesn't sound like it.
It doesn't translate. Yeah. Like oh yeah, like, yours was cool too.
Right. And I'm like, no, but actually, so then of course I'm like, oh, well, and now I want to compliment you because blah, blah. And I'm like just babbling and sounding so awkward. Oh, and I'm just like backing out of the bathroom. It was so off. I've like seen her a couple times and I just like duck away because I'm so embarrassed.
That is hilarious.
Because like, what's the right way? That's my question. Because like the other day I saw. Like,
because you look so killer, I just assumed it was you.
Well, that seems like then I would have just been like. Like, to me, I didn't think of that in the moment, but I think later I was thinking about something like, oh, well, because then I'm like, I wouldn't have been able to say you look killer. I would have been able to say something stupid like, you're just so strong.
Your muscle's so healthy.
Right. Like, I would have sounded like I was like hitting on her. Like, it wouldn't have come off.
I have seen people in the store before, and like, I would love if someone randomly told me like how pretty I look, but I am so afraid of doing that and coming off that I am like straight up hitting on a girl.
Right. I'm like not cool is the thing.
Yeah.
I would I
would sound stalkerish.
Yeah,
spotted you across the store and just wanted you to know that you look beautiful.
Right, exactly.
But like
I don't know how to like not be creepy, because it's not even like if someone thought I was hitting on them, they'd be flattered. Like they'd be creeped out. Like
right.
It's not that I care about that. It's that like no, there's no version of this reality where I don't come off crazy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So and again, it's like, yes, I would love if people randomly complimented me. I know random compliments have to be a good thing, but I'm always so afraid.
Yeah, I wouldn't even care if they were hitting on me. I would just
right. I would love. I'd be like, yes. I mean, here's my number. I guess like we're doing this. But like, I was driving the other day and I saw this girl. It was like I was driving to preschool drop off and she was running. And I'm on the way back. I passed her again. She was running the other way, but she just kind of looked like down, or something. Like she just didn't look real confident and like. I honestly just wanted to like roll down my window and like encourage her, but I'm like,
it's not
going to translate. Like by the time
or it would have been awkward. She wouldn't have like heard you,
right?
And then, like would have asked you again.
She's like calling the cops on me.
Exactly.
But I mean, like, what is the right way? Like, can we all just agree that it's okay for me to do that? Like, can we all just
agree?
To compliment
I support people
because I don't like want to. I don't want to be like, I don't want to come off as creepy, but then I'm like now, because I had that one like creep, like that one experience where I like was so embarrassed.
It failed. Yeah.
Right. And then I don't compliment people nearly like hardly ever. Like I would love to just like give strangers compliments. Cause I think we need to be doing more of that. Anyway, my point is, can I just compliment people? Is that cool?
You can compliment
me. Caroline.
Okay. Here's what we should do. Compliment me as many times as you can over the next week. And I'll tell you what lands and what doesn't.
That one sucked. Go back to the drawing board.
That'll fill both of our cups.
Yeah. Yeah. One of ours, I guess.
Yeah. Well, mine. So.
Yeah.
Well, and if you want to leave us some compliments, we always love them.
On iTunes.
On iTunes specifically.
And we're on Stitcher now. I don't know if you can.
Oh, yeah. That's
we
right.
We both thought we were this whole time.
Sure did. But thank you, Karen, for letting us know we were not.
Yeah. I fixed it. We are there now.
But yeah, drop us a review. We would love to see them. It makes our day.
Yeah. Thanks for bearing with my funky voice. We've had some pretty bad weather.
We did get 1 2-star review. The rest have been fives.
What?
So for that person, they didn't leave a note. Just let us know.
For you.
Just let us know what your issue was. I'm sure we can have a constructive conversation.
I'm not sure. I'll change nothing.
Okay,
and
don't
I'm
worry.
Angry. It's probably the freaking Game of Thrones producers. They came for me.
In Anyway, I will dialogue with you.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's thinking I'm going to be the one reaching out for the diplomacy.
I also thought the way to tell you would be on air.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't. You always tell me about 5-star ones.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks, and I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to get you down.
That's hilarious.
Because when you suck too hard on your lollipop, yeah. It's going to get you down.
Oh, gosh. Unbelievable. All right, well, have a good week.